Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tom Harris Live. And today we are paying tribute to our favorite northern neighbor, the Great White North itself, home of famous vocalists such as Celine Dion, William Shatner, and more. The sanest country in North America. Yes, I am talking, in fact, about our neighbor, Canada. Canada. All right, enough of that. All right, thank you. Welcome to the program. This is Tom Harris, live in Chicago, Illinois. If you are listening at 10:06 a.m. on October the... Oh, so it's 4:06 p.m. over in the UK. But if you're listening on October the 9th of 2010, you are listening live. If you're listening at any other time, then you're listening to a pre-recorded show. And yes, it's a Canadian special today, folks, because, you know, as I've been doing, as you all know, I've been doing these occasional segments called Tom's Travels. And today we're going to talk a little bit about Canada. And hopefully we'll have some calls from some actual Canadians, because I've been talking with, of course, various people, and of course, my extensive social network. I have a lot of friends who are Canadian or have been to Canada, et cetera, et cetera. So if anybody would like to speak about Canada to me today, feel free to call in and we can have a chat. Now, I do have, incidentally, it's absolutely gorgeous outside today, glorious fall day today. And I do intend, in the spirit of Canada, to go outside and spend some real time outside today. Hopefully we're going out on the air. Nobody has Skyped in yet. It is just one of those absolutely wonderful, wonderful fall days today. I'm really looking forward to getting outside, moving around today. Mikey Holt is complaining again. He says that I took my time coming on the air. Well, you know, I have to wait for the news, dear. And also, we have a delay with the show, because we're never sure. And we found this out. We're doing all this technical stuff. Now, we switched over to this new system. We switched over to this new system here. And what we have found is that when I am speaking here from the States, there is more delay. And it can be up to, I think, 2 minutes delay. So we do want to make sure that I don't start too early, Mikey. But Mikey was wondering where we were. And I have a notification coming in. Ooh, yeah. Aha, all right, yeah, excellent. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk about Canada today. We're going to have some fun Canadian facts. But first, before I do that, we have several Canadians on the line. We have Matthew from Manitoba is messaging us saying good morning from Canada. Hooray! Well, I hope that Matthew, you'll give us a Skype in and talk about Manitoba with us. That'll be exciting. But before we go to the Skype, we're going to go ahead and talk about today in history. All right, so today in history. We have some Canadian history today, incidentally, folks. It's not just our Canada special. We have some Canadian history today. Today, October 9th, in the year 1000. Leif Erikson discovered Canada. Well, actually, he didn't know he was discovering Canada. He discovered a place called Vinland, which most people, I think most scholars today, would kind of equate with Newfoundland. And in 1192, Richard the Lionhearted escaped Jerusalem in disguise. Yeah, sounds very Lionhearted to me. In 1446... the Korean Hangul alphabet is devised. I believe that's the alphabet that they're using now. Mikey is saying, 10:06, check your clock. Well, if you heard that at 10:06, well, it's 10:10 right now. And my clock is absolutely correct. It is, of course, the delay I was talking about earlier. In 1870, Rome became part of Italy. Now, that may come as a surprise to a lot of people that Rome was not part of Italy prior to 1870, but it is in fact true, because a lot of places in Italy were split up, and you had the Kingdom of Sicily, and you had Rome as its own little thing, and Florence, and and it all kind of came together in the 19th century. So Rome became part of Italy in 1870, except for the Vatican itself. Okay? In 1880, the Washington Monument was opened to the general public in Washington, D.C. The largest phallic symbol in Washington, D.C., I believe, to this day. In 1946, the first electric blanket was manufactured. I know Chris would be very interested in hearing about that. It sold for $39.50 in 1946. That's a lot of money in 1946 dollars. You could buy a house for that in 1946. Well, not really. And in 1966, John Lennon met Yoko Ono at an art gallery in New York. And now we have a bunch of birthdays today, folks, and I'll just try to kind of go through them fairly quickly. Everybody knows. In 1830, Harriet Hosmer, the famous sculptor. I bring her up because she's a really, really interesting character. Those of you who haven't heard of Harriet Hosmer, she was an openly lesbian sculptress. And this was back in the 1860s. So she's very, very interesting. And I'm related to her, incidentally. I'm descended from the same family that she came from. In 1940, John Lennon was born of the Beatles. And also in 1975, his son Sean was born. That's a very interesting fact there. We have other rock and roll birthdays today. In 1944, John Entwistle from The Who was born. Famous Canadian there. No, not really, sorry. He was English. Also in 1944, reggae singer Peter Tosh, who sang with Bob Marley and then kind of split off on his own. He was born in 1944 today. And in 1948, Jackson Browne. I bet Suko likes Jackson Browne. I like Jackson Browne, but I think Jackson Browne was the Gary Lightbody of the 70s. Would you say that? I would say that. Anyway, so that was Today in History. Not a lot in Today in History. Incidentally, if you'd like to contact the show, you can contact the show two ways. If you're in the UK, you can call our number 020-3287-1488. That's a local London number. It's not a premium rate number. Or if you're anywhere else in the world, including in Canada, you can contact the show through Skype. The Skype address, of course, is United Kingdom Radio. All right, so here we go. Here is our... I'm going to go ahead, before we get started talking about Canada, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play a couple of trails. And then I'll be right back.
Hello, join me, Lee Mills, every Monday and Wednesday here on United Kingdom Radio. We'll be talking about the best topics around, such as today's birthdays and what happened on this day many years ago. So that's Mondays at 8 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Do join us and don't forget. And if you do forget and you miss out, then you can catch up on the podcasts. We'll see you soon.
Hi, it's Suko. I'm wiping the slate clean. From here on in, it's a new, edgier Suko. More politics, more opinions, more debates. Wait, did I say that? Well, maybe just a soupçon of edge. Soupçon, you say? Look it up. What am I, your doormat? And no more kissing up to me for parcels from New York. I don't buy it. Wait, did you say I sound sexy? Well, perhaps something small. Listen Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time.
And that was the lovely and sexy-voiced Suko, who will be on tomorrow on United Kingdom Radio at 5 p.m., which would be, at my time, 11 a.m. So, all right, so now we're going to talk a little bit about Canada. And, of course, if anybody from Canada would like to call in and chat about their country, they're more than welcome to. I have some fun facts about Canada here that I'm going to share with you. Canada is the second largest country in the world. has the longest coastline in the world, about 243,000 kilometers. And like, now they use that weird metric system up there in Canada. If you go anywhere in the world and say, I'm from Canada, and say, instead of saying that you're from America, you're 900% less likely to be killed. Toronto is the largest city of Canada with a population of more than 5 million people. People who live in Toronto hold more university degrees than any other big city in the world. I guess that would be the result of the free education system up there. It is illegal to own a gun in Canada. However, you are required to own a snowmobile and a hat with woolly ear flaps under pain of death. Canada produces so much energy that it actually provides energy to us here in the United States. Canada has one desert, just one, very small little desert, 15 miles long, in British Columbia. And it's the only desert in the world that has a boardwalk for people to walk through. Canadians are very religious. They worship Crustacea, the lobster god. Every Canadian is given a radioactive maple leaf tattoo right in the middle of their forehead so that their evil overlords in Ontario can track them. But it's only visible if you're from Ontario. Niagara Falls is one of the largest and most popular waterfalls in the world. That is located in Canada. Half of Canada is covered with forests, which should not be surprising, considering that one-tenth of the world's forests are in Canada. I bet that's absolutely gorgeous up there. Incidentally, Canadian mass murderers, they usually target elk. Canada has two national sports. There's lacrosse, which only posh people play, and ice hockey, which is its national winter sport. No Canadian alive will dare tell you the secret of why the Canadian nickel has the queen on one side and a beaver on the other. So we'll have more fun facts about Canada later in the program. And so I was actually in Canada a few times. The first time I was up there was in 1986, something like that. And went on a day trip to Sarnia, Ontario. Now, that would be right across the border from Michigan. We were up visiting, my ex-wife and I were up in Michigan visiting some friends up there on our way home from a vacation. And stopped by Sarnia, Ontario. Nice little town, Sarnia. They have a little waterfront park. I think it's on Lake St. Clair. Really not sure. Now, there's some debate about whether Lake St. Clair is considered part of the Great Lakes or not, because it's so small. But I don't know. I thought it was quite nice anyway. And that was my first time in Canada. My mom once told me that I was in Canada in utero. But, of course, I don't have any memory of that. But I do remember going to Canadian McDonald's. Now, Canadian McDonald's is called Tim Hortons. And it's a place where apparently Canadians get very nostalgic for when they're traveling here in the States. And so they talk about it incessantly whenever they're in the States. And they ask you where the nearest Tim Hortons is. And, of course, the answer is probably somewhere in, you know, northern Michigan or something where they've managed to kind of creep in. But Canada, you know, my impressions of Canada. Now, I have to say, I haven't spent, you know, months and months there. I've been there a few times. First in Ontario, like I said. Now, I did a major road trip back in the year 2000 where I traveled west to east across Canada and starting in Vancouver, and I ended actually in Niagara Falls. I didn't go further east than that. So it would be very interesting to have somebody who was actually from that eastern part of Canada, say Quebec, to call in and mention. Incidentally, if you're in Quebec, you can make friends by asking every passerby you see, "Hey, Frenchie, where's the Eiffel Tower?" Great way to make friends there in Canada. You know, incidentally, every fact that Americans know about Canada was learned on the back of a cereal box. All Americans are required to include facts about all American cereal boxes are required to include facts about Canada. So if a Canadian asks you, "What do you know about Canada?" it's an acceptable response to say you contain 190 milligrams of sodium. Oh, we have a caller coming in. Hello on Skype.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning. You're distorting a little bit.
Oh, sorry about that. Let me just fix my settings a bit for you.
Much better. So this is Matt, is it?
This is Matt from Canada. You betcha.
All right. Where in Canada are you?
I'm located in Manitoba, which is right in the heart of Canada. I'm actually right in the middle of Manitoba and geographically right in the center of Canada, believe it or not.
Fantastic. So what would you say is unique about Canada?
Well, I have to go with your first fact there about the queen on one side and the beaver on the other, but that's another story.
Now, you're not allowed to talk about that, are you?
Oh, no, that is top secret military stuff.
Now, for those of you who don't know, the president of Canada is called the queen, right?
In a sort, yes. We have our prime minister, Stephen Harper, which is kind of the head of Canada, but the queen of England still overpowers him.
Now, does she come to Canada often?
I'd say once every 2 to 3 years, yeah.
Oh, that's not bad. That's the first member of the British royal family to visit Canada. Do you know who that was?
I could not tell you, to be honest.
It was, I believe, Prince George, when he was Prince of Wales, became King George V.
Okay.
I believe he was the first member of the royal family to visit Canada.
Wow, way back when?
Back in I think it was 1909 or something. I mean, it was surprisingly not that long ago.
No. Wow.
So do you worship Crustacea, the lobster god?
Oh, yes, most indefinitely. And I actually originally came from British Columbia. So down there, the lobster god is a thing of the future, the past, and the present.
So. You are? Oh, all right. So you're from British Columbia. So have you been to the desert there?
Yes, very small, but very nice. We're talking perfect. Like, go to any desert in the U.S. and times a million, the beauty is just all there.
Are there cactuses there?
I haven't seen any cactus there. I guess they just can't stand.
They can't afford the cactuses. They have to cart those in from Arizona or something.
Exactly.
So what do you do up there in Canada?
I'm actually a DJ, just like Chris Reardon there. I do DJing basically all across Canada. I go by the name of DJ M Squared, and I'm doing up all the biggest nightclubs, and right now just working in Winnipeg, and I got a bunch of family that lives here in Manitoba, so I'm calling this home.
Excellent. No, it's very good to hear from you. Now, have you been to all of the Canadian provinces?
Yes, I can definitely tell you I've been everywhere.
Because I've been to most of the Canadian provinces, but there's a few that I still haven't been to. Now, is it true? Now we know that back in the old days, there used to be a province called the Northwest Territories.
Correct.
And you gave it back to the natives because you don't want none of it.
Exactly. Basically, it's still owned by Canada, but it's now kind of in like a partnership.
Okay. So it's kind of like Quebec.
Yeah, exactly, because Quebec still wants to separate. So
common misconceptions about Canada. What would you say the biggest misconception is?
Well, I mean, according to most people, we still live in igloos, right? I think that's got to be the number one, and that's definitely not the case. We live in mansions, but mansions.
Okay, so what about the radioactive maple leaf tattoo? Do you have one of those?
You know what? It is embedded, but I mean, I'm not from Ontario, and I don't go to Ontario often, so you really can't see it. But it's there.
Oh, okay. So are you a lycanthrope? Because 57% of the Canadian population are lycanthropes, according to this thing that I read. Now, I got this off the internet, of course.
Right.
So you know that it's true, because everything you find on the internet is true.
Oh, especially Wikipedia, definitely.
Especially Wikipedia. Now, did you know that in 1883... the baseball glove was invented in Canada.
Are you serious? Whereabouts was that?
I don't know. In Canada somewhere. Probably near an igloo.
I love it.
It didn't actually say, you know, because while I did hours and hours of research, you know, I spend about 10 hours researching an hour show.
Well, we're a big country, you know, we're huge.
It's a huge country and a beautiful country at that. Now, what would you say your favorite part of Canada is?
My favorite part actually has to be right here on the prairies, actually, in Manitoba. Most people consider it the most dull, but it's actually quite beautiful. You got a mixture of trees, you got lakes, you got everything. It's beautiful.
I drove through Manitoba in 2000 when I was traveling. I was just saying, I went from west to east across Canada. And starting in Vancouver, I went up through Alberta, through the Banff and Jasper parks, went up to see the dinosaurs up in Alberta. Yeah, because you have dinosaurs in Canada, which is something that we have them in America too, but we kind of hide them.
Why is that? I mean, they're absolutely stunning.
We don't want people to be scared, so we kind of hide them. And of course, they're trying to avoid lawsuits and stuff like that, so they hide them underground in Colorado.
Wow, unreal. Why would they do such a thing?
Because we're Americans.
That would do it.
But no, I went through the Royal Tyrrell Museum up in, I forget the name of the town now. I don't remember.
Oh, it's
Drumheller.
Drumheller, Alberta.
Yeah, up in Alberta, and that was absolutely gorgeous. And now I drove west across Saskatchewan and across Manitoba. And the thing I remember most about that is that it was natural gas wells and bison.
Oh yes, quite a few.
So is bison your number one export?
I'd have to say between that and cattle, definitely. Yeah. Oh, we in Manitoba, we like things that roam the earth. We just seem to be attracted to them, so we keep exporting them.
Oh, fantastic. Peter from France is saying that he is a lycanthrope. Now, Peter is also from Canada. Peter is from Quebec, so he's a francophone.
Frenchman, excellent.
And Peter says the basketball was also invented in Canada. Yeah, I read that, and then I didn't write it down. Oh, yeah, here it does. Many inventions, including basketball, the electric light bulb, the electric range, the electron microscope, the telephone, standard time, the television, and the zipper, and the first snowmobile were invented in Canada.
Wow, that's huge.
So, and I'm gonna count that as real facts.
100%. I'd believe every one of those for sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Do you believe that now summer in Canada is generally kind of shorter than
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, it's extremely short. We're talking like July, August, and that's about it.
Yeah, summer in Canada is when it stops snowing. Is that that's basically right?
That's basically it. And now the snow is here already. Here we are.
You're already snowing up there.
A couple of centimeters we've had on these late nights, yes, where it gets to be -2. But then, I mean, by the time the morning comes, it's gone again, right? So it's always up and down throughout the course of the evening.
I also want to do a quick shout out to my good friend Scott Coles, who's listening here. Scott is in Ontario. So hello, Scott. So we actually have 3 Canadians listening today, if not more.
Amazing.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, sir, for calling. I'd really appreciate it.
Not a problem, Tom. Have yourself a great afternoon there.
You as well.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that was Matthew there from Manitoba. And so if any of you other Canadians would like to call in, please feel free to do so. Once again, the Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. Or you can call, if you're in the UK, you can call 020-I already lost the phone number. I'm so organized today because I've got all these little bits and pieces of paper with facts about Canada on them. 020-3287-1488 is the phone number if you're, in fact, in the UK. And it is a local London number. So anyway, Vancouver. I want to just talk about that real briefly because I think Vancouver was one of my favorite places in Canada. Now, I'm talking about the cities here, not about the gorgeous, obviously, gorgeous countryside and the mountains and the plains, like you said, the prairies. Now, I thought that was kind of boring, which is no offense to Matthew. Driving across there. Now, it was the first time, though, in my life that I had actually seen bison in the wild. Because I had seen elk in the wild up in Jasper, saw a lot of stuff up there. But British Columbia, I think, is probably my favorite part of Canada. Because you have the ocean there. Now, a lot of people don't know this. Canada is actually bordering on 3 oceans. You've got the Pacific Ocean in the west, the Arctic Ocean in the north, and the Atlantic Ocean in the east. So I think it's the only country that's actually surrounded by 3 oceans. So it's a unique fact about one of our favorite places. Now, I loved Vancouver, and I'll tell you why. Vancouver is one of those places that is very... very diverse as far as the culture goes. Now, one of the things that I noticed about Vancouver when I was there is that there were, it was a very Asian city. It's probably the most Asian city that I had been in anywhere in the world other than Asia itself. And We have a call coming. We have two calls coming in. Let's see if I can add them both to, here. Hello on Skype.
Hello.
Hello, and who is this?
This is Scott.
This is Scott Coles. Hello, how are you?
You call, I answer.
Great, fantastic. Hello, and where are you, Scott?
I'm in Ontario.
You're near Stratford somewhere, aren't you?
Yes, I'm in Stratford.
Now, what's Stratford known for?
Stratford is known for the world-famous Stratford Shakespearean Festival Theater.
That's exactly true. I have a T-shirt that actually says that on there. Now, Scott is a fellow podcaster. Do you want to plug your projects real quick?
I suppose if you are a comic book fan at all, you can check out the Legion of Substitute Podcasters. We do a Legion of Superheroes-based podcast every week, every Monday. It's at legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, or you can check us out on iTunes. I also do a Doom Patrol podcast, which is also weekly, and it is at doompodtrol.com.
And I added to the conversation Peter Kreutlein, who is out in... Where are you, Peter?
I'm afraid I cannot mention where I am at this moment.
You're Now, is that about the? Is that similar to the secret about the Queen and the Beaver?
No, in fact, I'm actually not anywhere in Canada at this point, nor am I in France to not throw aspersions upon our French neighbors.
Ah, so where are you at the moment, Peter?
Cover.
I'm secreted in a Germanic country somewhat to the east of France, I believe.
Now, are you still working for a Canadian company?
No. The Canadian company was long purchased by a French company.
Oh, that would explain why you live in France now.
Yes.
All right. So what, Scott? What is your favorite part of Canada?
I my favorite part of Canada, other than here, which is awesome, I like Newfoundland. Newfoundland is my absolute favorite part of Canada. It's got everything. It's got the ocean. It's got, you know, rocks and trees. Uh-huh. I like the idea where you can walk, you know, 10 minutes, and suddenly you have no idea there's any other people in the world. Mm-hmm. It's just isolation.
Now, are you a lycanthrope?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
I believe your facts may be somewhat faulty.
Really? What? In what way?
I don't think half of them are true. I don't know if you know this, but I think your American educational system leaves something to be desired.
Okay.
Just putting that out there. I don't, you know. It's the internet, though, so what are you going to do?
That's true. It is the internet. Yeah, you can believe everything you read on the internet. That's like my rule of thumb. Anything on the internet, you can believe.
Well, you can. I don't know if you should. I mean, you can eat rocks. I don't know, you should.
Well, if you're from Bismol, you can eat rocks.
That's true.
Indeed.
But I believe the British Army did used to eat grass during war.
Well, when you got it, you got it. I mean, there's no food.
Now, what is it like? Now, Peter lived for many years in the United States. So he has a little bit of a different perspective because you're from Montreal, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And so you speak French.
Indeed.
Yeah. So Scott, do you speak French?
A tiny bit. I've forgotten a lot of French since my high school days.
Now, is it considered unpatriotic to not speak French?
No, it's unpatriotic to not speak Chinese.
Ah, okay.
Dang, I'm unpatriotic either way then.
I don't speak Chinese either, so if I were in Canada, I would be unpatriotic. So what would you say, Peter, the biggest difference between living in the States and living in Canada?
I would say less guns, but I'm only talking about handguns. I think there are quite as many rifles in Canada as there is in the U.S. Of course, less likely to have bears in your backyard, but more likely to have alligators in the U.S. Donuts, of course, are a big contention because the United States has no idea how to make a donut. Outside of Tim Hortons, I mean, Dunkin' Donuts, I have no idea what that is. And, of course, maple syrup. I mean, other than a small part of Vermont, I think the U.S. is pretty much a waste of maple syrup.
Well, what about Maine?
No, I mean, I guess Maine has the occasional Maine Green Tree.
I think they have Tim Hortons in Maine.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a very civilized state.
Yeah. I think that I was only in Maine for about a half an hour.
We call it Canada South.
Is that considered part of Canada when you're in Canada?
Oh, yeah.
So is Florida, by the way.
That is true. That is true. Because
certain
neighborhoods,
yes.
It is definitely true because what happens in... Now, this is a little-known fact about Canada, or specifically about Ontario. Okay. In Ontario, you have these people who are called Ontarians. Okay. And they come from a place called Ontario. And when they reach the age of 70, they migrate to Florida, where they drive really, really, really slowly, and they don't stop for stop signs.
Now, I would only correct you to say it's not really a migration. It's more of a forced expulsion. It's more like Logan's Run, where when you reach a certain age, they are expelled from Canada and forced to relocate to Canada.
Because the maple leaf tattoo starts blinking.
And oh,
yes,
right.
Exactly.
It's
time to hunt.
Now, do they send... Oh, that explains a lot.
That's where the rifles come in.
That would explain a lot. Yeah.
And the Viking troops, for that matter.
It's very interesting. Very interesting. Now, how does the lobster god factor into this?
Well, the lobster god is the overlord, of course. And we all know that blue lobsters are... in fact, highly intelligent aliens who come down to try to overthrow the human population.
That is true. Well, that's certainly, yeah. So I guess the listeners today you're learning a lot about Canada. Now, what would you say the biggest misconception about Canada is, Scott?
Actually, probably that we're all so polite. I don't know. That is kind of true too.
I think it is true.
Yeah, definitely the igloo thing. I've never even seen an igloo.
I've stepped in an igloo.
Was it in fact in Canada?
Yes, it was. It was in my backyard in Quebec.
Ah, interesting. Now, but were you living in there during the winter?
Well, not permanently, but
it was just for fun.
Well, yeah, I spent the occasional evening there. Nice place to have dinner.
Now, one thing that another piece of Canadian trivia: Canada is the largest producer in the world of ice wine.
That's correct. 80% of all ice wine comes from Canada, or specifically Ontario.
Yeah,
yes, now that region
in the region of St. Catharines. Now that's an area where I actually visited in 2000. And Canada's wine country is absolutely gorgeous part of the country. It's I don't know, it's sort of like Wisconsin. Maybe a little bit flatter than Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Just similar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Scott, have you been to the U.S. much?
A bit. I go down once a year to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Beyond that, I've been to Kentucky. Louisiana, went to Mardi Gras.
So what would you say the average Canadian thinks of their southern neighbors?
I think we look at them oftentimes as kind of like the slow cousin. Where you don't really dislike them, you just kind of feel bad for them sometimes because they just can't seem to get things right.
Now, it's well known that Canada is one of the most peace-loving countries in the world. And when's the last time Canada actually? Got some noise coming from who's making that noise?
I do not know.
I think Peter's making that noise.
I'm not making any noise.
Are you cooking, Peter?
Not to my knowledge, man. Drinking beer, but that's about it.
Oh, what kind of beer?
Weizen beer.
Weizen beer. Okay. Yes. Now, of course, the national brand of beer in Canada is Molson's, right?
In the same way that Budweiser is like the big beer in the States, it's the biggest. It's not necessarily, actually, it's not at all the best.
Well, I think nowadays in the States it's Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's very big with the hipster crowd, so.
Yes, yes, it is. And I think the hipster crowd has kind of taken over the beers. I don't drink beer myself, but.
I was always a big fan of Milwaukee's Best because you could get a six-pack for under $1.50 at 7-Eleven.
Now, does Tim Hortons sell beer?
No.
They don't. Okay. Yeah, I'm just making sure. Now, we actually do have Tim Hortons here in Illinois. I've seen one of them here in Illinois, and I think that's just because we have so many people from Canada who come to Chicago, and they complain.
Yeah, there's about 600 total in the United States, which sounds like a lot, but I think there's something like 50,000 in Canada, so obviously a much smaller number.
So explain, one of you, explain to me Poutine.
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 Yeah, Putin, I think, is the president of Russia, or he used to be. And then Putin was not named after him. It's actually interesting. Putin, linguistically, is a French bastardization of pudding, because Putin looks a bit like pudding.
Doesn't taste like it, though.
No. The basic idea is to get as much fat as possible in as concentrated mass as possible. And salt, of course.
Don't forget that.
So to be able to survive the extremely cold Quebec winters. That's why it's actually invented in Quebec.
Well, if you eat enough salt, then ice won't form on you.
Exactly. And the fat also acts as a sort of antifreeze in your blood and keeps your blood from freezing solid.
So if people in Canada keep eating poutine, do you believe that they're going to evolve into a race of walrus people?
I don't think we would get the long tusks because you don't really need those for poutine since it's so mushy. But you might acquire about as much blubber as a walrus. That's possible.
So what is poutine made of?
French fries, curd cheese, and what we call barbecue gravy, which is actually just a form of brown sauce. So that might have a lot to do with real barbecue.
So is that like the national dish of Canada?
No,
that's chiefly a Quebec thing, yes. We do have it, but not nearly as widespread.
So what is the national dish of Stratford, Ontario?
I don't know that we have a national dish since we're only a city.
What did Shakespeare eat? I guess that would be a national dish, right?
You'd think. We do have a very good bacon store.
A bacon store?
It's called the Best Little Pork Shop. It's located just outside Stratford and Shakespeare. And they do all sorts of really excellent artisan bacon, basically.
So that's an idea that they could somehow combine the two, and they could do like a production of Hamlet, no pun intended. Pun is always intended with me. you could do a production of Hamlet and make all the costumes and the sets entirely out of bacon.
Who are you, Lady Gaga?
No, I'm not Lady Gaga, but you know, hey, you know, if you have a bacon store right next to the theater, then hey, why not?
Well, it's not next to the theater. It's just outside of town. But
oh, okay. So they don't let the bacon people in the theater.
They may. I mean, they pay their money. They get in. That's how it works, I think.
So have you ever been to the smallest desert in the world?
No, I have never been west of Ontario. I've been east, but not west.
Okay. So you haven't been out to like Vancouver and Alberta?
No.
Okay.
My brother went out to Vancouver for a while, but that's about it.
What is the definition of desert here? Are we using a scientific terminology? Does it have to have a viable ecosystem? I'm a bit confused at the concept.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Well, because you're talking about there being one small desert in Canada, but we have many arid areas. I'm just trying to understand what's the definition of desert here. For instance, in Ontario, we actually have a sand dune park, which is quite large, quite extensive. And in the midst of it, you really can't see the end, and you really feel like you're in the middle of a very cold Sahara. So we're not quite sure what the definition of desert is here.
I don't think that, Yeah, I don't think that would qualify as a desert, because we have a Dunes National or Dunes State Park or National Park down here in Indiana, which is just outside of Chicago, actually.
Wow.
And it's, of course, on the Great Lakes, which would be probably similar to where you have. Now, where the dunes in Ontario? Are they on Lake Ontario?
Or Lake Erie? Pretty close. Yeah, they're pretty close to Lake Ontario. I think they're somewhere near St. Petersburg, maybe. I don't know exactly where, but definitely close to the lakes. I mean, it's probably an effect of, you know, sand formation and, you know, great bodies of water or something like that.
Right. Now, I don't think that that's considered a desert, because we actually get dunes here in this part of the world. Now, we're not considered a desert because Chicago is built on a prairie.
Hmm.
So that's I think it's just something you get near bodies of water on a prairie. But I think a desert requires a certain, you have to be below a certain amount of moisture per year.
It's probably just an effect of the mountains or something out there where all the rain falls before the mountain and then there's none left by the time it gets to the middle part.
That could be. We have a message here from Matthew, who called earlier. He forgot to mention that Canada is the number one consumer of bacon. He himself says he can consume up to 5 pounds a day.
It's wow. It's also interesting to note that I believe over 90% of all mustard seeds in the world are produced in Canada.
Really?
Oh, that one I didn't know.
We don't actually make the mustard; we export the seeds, but we actually do grow all the mustard seeds.
Now, I wonder where they export the mustard seeds to.
Europe, mostly, I would think.
Europe, our friends.
Well, I wonder if they import them all to India.
Well, probably not all of them. I mean, I don't think French's is from India.
That's true. Well, I'm a big mustard fan, as everybody knows, and I love to make fun of the people in Norwich, our friends Lee Mills and Ross Patzelt, who live in Norwich in the UK, because they have the Coleman's Mustard Museum there.
Mm. Wow.
So mustard is one of my favorite condiments. I tried making my own mustard a couple of years ago, and I had, I think, 3 batches of mustard that I made, and only one of them actually came out edible. it may seem very easy to make mustard, but it's actually very, very difficult to make mustard.
Well, if you're ever back in Toronto at the St. Lawrence Market, there's a little stall that makes their own mustard, and they have usually, I think, 50 or 60 varieties on sale.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, where was this?
In Toronto, St. Lawrence Market.
Ah, in Toronto. Okay. So now you lived in Toronto or near Toronto?
Yes, near Toronto. I think there's actually only 4 people that live in Toronto. Toronto is a very small city. Everything else is just the sprawl surrounding Toronto.
Right. Now,
the greater Toronto area.
Yes.
Right. It's something like Chicagoland, what we call Chicagoland.
Yeah.
Right. Because now I actually do live in Chicago. So I can't say that nobody lives in Chicago. Now, Scott, are you going to come to C2E2 this year?
I'm afraid I won't be making it this year. One of these years I do want to make it down there because it seems like a really good time.
Yeah.
It's a pretty decent show from all accounts. So.
Yeah. So, Peter, when are you going to next be on this side of the pond?
I usually come over sometime during the winter months. Another little fact of Canada, of course, is that all Canadians must experience minus 25 degrees Celsius at least 1 or 2 days a year, or they will die. It's sort of like ferrets and mating, whereas that's another animal. Ferrets that have to mate and they die. So anyway, so it's absolutely a requirement for Canadians to spend at least 2 days in sub-20 degree temperature at least once a year.
Well, that can be very difficult if you're living in France.
Exactly, which is why...
That's where he's got to make the pilgrimage.
Yes.
Right. Now, why couldn't you go up to, like, Narvik in Norway?
I suppose you could, but those countries don't necessarily even get cold enough sometimes. I mean, maybe Siberia might be okay. Another interesting fact about Canada, Montreal is the... For an urban city, it's the city that has the widest difference in temperature between summer and winter. Because summer can get above 30 degrees Celsius and winter can get below 30 degrees Celsius.
That's yep. That's interesting. Crazy. Yeah, yeah. So now when you're worshiping the Crustacea, the lobster god, what actually do you do in the service?
Oh, it's just the usual stuff: anointing with butter and you know, the holy shell crackers and things like that. It's very solemn and very very dignified.
Do they grow special garlic for that, or is it just butter?
Oh, it's Ontario garlic. It's very good.
Ontario garlic. Okay, now where does that come from? Besides just Ontario, is there a particular region of Ontario where they grow that?
I don't know that there's a particular region, but I do know that a lot of the garlic that we get in the grocery stores is actually imported from other places, and it's not nearly as good. So I'm told.
Hang on, I have a sound effect for that.
There you go.
Yeah. So. Very, very interesting. Now, Peter, do they worship Crustacea over in France?
They do. It's more of a Marseille sort of kind of thing in southern France, where the Marseillais is. But you can find the occasional Crustacea in Paris. The thing that does annoy me, though, not specifically for Crustacea, well, I think it is a form of Crustacea, would be the oyster, is that the French do not seem to understand the concept of horseradish, and it is unfindable to be had with raw oysters or any other food for that matter, which is quite annoying.
That's terrible.
How do you live without horseradish?
I don't know.
You import it from Canada.
Yes.
Is Canada a big exporter of horseradish?
I know we have a lot of it.
I don't know if we export it, but we certainly consume it.
Okay. So that
and produce it. My grandmother used to grow it in her garden all the time, so...
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Could she send me some?
She's past afraid, I'm afraid.
Oh,
so,
okay. So
that may not be possible.
Probably not possible. Now, if we have a medium, maybe.
We'll see what we can hook up then.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to thank you, gentlemen, very much for calling in, and I really appreciate you guys calling in on my Canadian special. So,
we are indeed.
One more little factoid before I let you folks go. Do any of you produce gold, copper, zinc, nickel, aluminium, and natural gas?
Myself personally, no.
Ah, okay.
I do produce some natural gas personally, but the other things are usually mine. My father did actually work in the gold and silver mines in the Yukon Territory.
Ah, well, that's very exciting.
Yes, he got to take a naked shower with other men every day. Which I
wow. Wow.
Right, it is exciting.
You know, because, of course, they don't want you to smuggle the gold and silver out of the mine by sticking it up your butt. So they force you to shower before leaving every day.
I love it!
I think if you're determined enough, you could still get away with it. But
he did, actually. He showed me some gold he had smuggled out.
Did he smuggle it out that way?
I think he might have just swallowed it and waited for it to pass.
Ah, that's interesting. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for calling in. I really appreciate it.
All right, Tom. Take it easy, buddy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was Scott in Ontario and Peter in Paris, though he actually is not in Paris at the moment. So that was, very, very interesting. If anyone else would like to Skype into the program, please feel free to do so. The Skype address, of course, is United Kingdom Radio. Now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play our weekly feature here. Chris Reardon has decreed. Live from the Whiskey Glass Studios, it's...
Chris Reardon!
I love it!
And on Chris Reardon Has Decreed this week, as you know, we go and back through the archives, back into Chris Reardon's old programming, and we discover interesting things that Chris Reardon has decreed over the years. And our clip for this week is this.
People shout out, get on with it. This is it. There isn't any more. It's pointless you shouting out to it. This is it. There is no more. Don't expect something better to come along later on, because there isn't.
And that was Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week. Now, as I was going through these old shows, I found that Chris Reardon is a very, very naughty boy. And, you know, we know that, you know, shows here on United Kingdom Radio tend to be fairly not squeaky clean, but, you know, at least somewhat family friendly. And, but I found some very, very naughty things on Chris's show. For example, this.
I've got this piece of equipment. I've got a very large package downstairs. And I've looked on the internet and I have failed to understand the workings of this piece of equipment. It's going to undo my zip while I do some business in there.
And I can't even continue because it's just incredibly, incredibly naughty. So that was Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week. I do. We're getting very close to the end of the show. I have about 3 minutes left because I have to stop the show actually at 10:48 a.m. or 10:50. I'm sorry, 10:58 a.m. because of the delay, and we don't want the show to get cut off and so forth.
Don't cut me off!
Right, exactly. So we don't want to actually cut off the end of the show like we did last week because of the delay before the news at the top of the hour. So I have 2 more minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and play a couple more trails here for our Sunday shows. Now, incidentally, I don't have a trail yet for Paul Edwards. Paul Edwards has moved his show to 7 p.m. UK time on Sunday. So the Sunday shows are Stephen Parker, then Suco, then I believe Stacy White, and then Paul Edwards at 7. I don't have a trail for Paul, though, so Paul, if you could get me or get us a trail soon, that would be great. Following me today is Sean Riches at 5 p.m. UK time, so be sure to listen to that. And I'm going to go ahead and play a trail here.
Whether you've had a good day or a bad day, or just has something on your mind, I'm Stacy White from Oklahoma in the United States. Now, live on United Kingdom Radio on Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Come join me and talk about anything and everything. Talk, talk, and more talk, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Sundays on United Kingdom Radio.
And that was Stacy White, who will be on tomorrow. Stacy White, now incidentally, I had to go to jury duty this past week. I was going to talk about this, and I didn't. But I had to go to jury duty this week, and one of the questions they ask you, do you have any friends or relatives who are in law enforcement? And I was forced to answer yes, entirely because of my good friend Stacy White. I have a message coming in. Chris Reardon is saying Paul is now on Sundays from 7 to 9 p.m. Yeah, 2-hour show on Sundays is Paul Edwards. And Sean Riches is telling me that I need to end it 1 minute before, 2 minutes before. Thank you, Sean. I think I just said that. Anyhow, got to go, folks. It is the end of the show. I will talk to you all next week on Tom Harris Live. I want to thank all the callers. Matthew in Winnipeg, Peter over in France, and also Scott Coles in Ontario. Thanks very much for listening. The news is coming up next. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. See you next time.